Let's just lift our hands and love the Lord tonight. Thank you, Lord. Just keep your eyes closed and your hands raised. Just want to sing a couple of times. Chorus of the old hymn. Oh, sweet wonder. Just the last line, oh how I love him. Oh how I love him. How I adore him. How I adore him. Jesus, the Son of God. Your Bible, this is such a special place. This is such a great place to be, not because of the decor, but because of the presence of the Lord. We're reading from three passages of scripture. First one is in John chapter 6. The next is in Mark chapter 5. And then we return to John, but moving to John 11. So if you just get those references, John 6, that's where we're starting. We move to Mark 5 and then to John 11. John 6, beginning at verse 15. This has been a great day. Teaching of the word of the Lord has been very rich, very inspired. Fellowship has been great. Service last night was very heartwarming. Just to be in the presence of the Lord and keep moving in the presence of the Lord. And that's just how it is in the presence of the Lord. You have to keep moving. Seraphims were always moving. John 6:15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Mark 5:21. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Verse 30. And Jesus immediately, knowing him in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Finally, John 11. Verse 6. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, that's Lazarus who was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Is there anyone in this audience tonight who has on any occasion presented to the Lord what you considered to be an urgent need for help, and he did not respond in the time frame that you thought your need deserved? Is there anybody in the audience? How did you feel? I can tell you how I have felt and how I do feel when this happens. I find myself struggling to avoid discouragement because I perceive my need to be urgent, and I know that Jesus loves me, and I know that He cares, and not seeing Him responding as quickly as I believe He should be responding, I struggle to avoid discouragement. And I also struggle to avoid the temptation of taking things in my own hands. I struggle to avoid reasoning this way. Well, if you are not coming, Jesus, I may as well help myself. On this Thursday night of camp, there are people in this audience right now who are struggling to avoid discouragement because you are looking at what you conceive to be God's delay. He's not coming as quickly as you think He should be coming. And you're struggling to avoid discouragement, and you're probably searching for an answer. And there may not be many people like that tonight, but there are some. I do not know where you are standing, but I know that you're here. And by the help of the Holy Spirit, I would like to lift from the Bible a thought that would help you in dealing with divine delays. And so, my subject tonight is divine delays. Let's all say that. And the verse that I'd like you to try to memorize is, "And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come unto them." Would you say that with me? "And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them." It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. What's the picture here? Well, it's dark. And they're not sitting in a living room. They are in a small vessel at sea in a storm. And it's dark. And Jesus was not come to them. Lord, help us tonight to preach. If you don't help us, would not be able to preach. Grant to us receptive hearts, and we will praise you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name. And everybody, let's say a rousing, strong, vibrant amen. Amen. Come on, young people. Let's try again.
Amen.
Let's try again.
Amen.
Let's take this roof off. You may be seated. These words, "And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them," take us back to a life-threatening, eventful night on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples, in compliance with the instructions of the Lord, were on their way to the other side. We are on our way to the other side. And when you're on your way to the other side, you encounter storms. There are some people who believe that if you are in the will of God, you do not encounter storms. But I would like to let you know that you can be in the perfect will of God and encounter storms. I would like to let you know, though, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the master of every storm. He is the master of the sea. So the disciples suddenly find themselves in a storm. And it's a bad storm. The small vessel creaked and groaned amidst the swirling, boisterous waves of the sea. The disciples, like we would have, toiled in rowing to the point where they became so desperate and they were almost brought to a point of panic. The more they toiled, the more hopeless the situation became. One puzzling thought entered their minds. Why has the master not come? And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. Yes, the big question was, why the delay? Why has the master not come? He cares, he understands, and he's able. Why has he not come? This text tonight opens a theme which is of concern to people in this audience. You have placed your need before God. And you have considered your need to be urgent. And having placed that need before God, you find yourself in a position of desperation because the Lord has kept you waiting. He has not come at the time when you think he should come. And you're groaning within yourself and you're saying, it's now dark, and Jesus has not come. I want to let you know that the God whom we serve is never late. He is always on time. He is the master of every situation, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days of the year. There is no storm that can render him unable to cope. He is the master of every situation. Your extremity does not mean that God is confused. It simply means that there's an opportunity for God to display his marvelous power. I want to let you know, young person, that you serve a great, big, wonderful God. He is not weak at all. He is mighty. He does not walk around heaven wringing his hands trying to come up with answers for problems. He knows what he's doing. He is completely in charge. The leaders of our world find themselves in trouble, but God is not in trouble. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. If you do not remember anything else in this
message. Remember this. Your God is abundantly able to defend you, to strengthen you, to lift you up, and to guide you through the storm. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come. In the case of the second story that we read, you want to focus on the fact that Jairus' daughter is sick at the point of death. She is not just running a fever or having a head cold or a chest cold. She is at the point of death. Fathers, have you ever been there? So Jairus comes to Jesus and says to him, Jesus, I want you to come to my house and place your hand upon my daughter. And when you do that, my daughter will be made whole. And Jesus begins the journey. And as he walks, he finds himself in the midst of a crowd. And a woman touches him. And he stops to address her need. Fathers, please see if you can use your imagination. How would you feel if your daughter is at the point of death and Jesus is on his way only to stop in a crowd and ask, "Who touched me?" How would your heart be beating, Dad? You'd be saying, come on, Jesus, let's go. She is at the point of death. But Jesus delays. He stops. He talks to the woman. And he spends time on this issue. And while he's on this issue, the message comes, don't bother Jesus anymore. Because it is over. But when you are dealing with Jesus, it's not over. When you are dealing with Jesus, death does not signal the end. It's an opportunity for the unleashing of divine power. Let's look at the other story. Lazarus is sick, and his sisters send messengers to Jesus to say, he whom thou lovest is sick. And you would have thought that Jesus would have put everything on hold and said, let's go, disciples. But the text says Jesus abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, I want you to get the picture. The picture is, there are urgent needs, and Jesus is not coming when the people involved think that he should be coming. Now, I want us to consider this message from the standpoint of one, the outward strangeness of these events. Secondly, the inward purpose that we can glean. And third, Secondly, the lasting message that we can find in this setting today. Now let's discuss the strangers from a human perspective. The storm is a bad one. The disciples have been toiling from 6 o'clock in the evening. 6 to 9, that's 3 hours. 9 to 12, 3 more hours, that's 6. 12 to 3, 3 more, 9 hours. And having toiled for 9 hours, they find themselves in the middle of the sea. 9 hours. And they're only in the middle. Why would Jesus not go to them after the 3rd hour? Or the 6th hour? Why did he come to them in the 4th watch of the night? Young people, get the picture. 6 to 9, 9 to 12, 12 to 3. And Jesus has not come. And the storm is a bad storm. And the disciples are toiling. And the more they toil, the more hopeless it becomes. That seems strange. But perhaps we could say Jesus was praying and was taking time to breathe in. Let's look at the next story. Why would Jesus stop to deal with a woman who was well grown, who had lived many years, and there's a little baby or a little girl who is just coming into her own and she is at the point of death? Why would he not leave the woman and go and tend to the girl? Perhaps we would say, well, if Jesus had not stopped and asked who touched me and dealt with the matter that way, those around would not have known what had happened to the lady, and certainly those of us down here would not ever know. Understand? But the 3rd story, the text just says Jesus stood where he was 2 days. He never gave any explanation at all. The Bible said he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. It seems very deliberate to me. What's the purpose? Is there a purpose why the Lord has not come to you yet? There is. God has a purpose for everything he does. If he has not come, there is a reason. And I want to let you know that he's going to come. And when he comes, everything is going to be all right. Now, these delays had to be in order to demonstrate our Lord's supreme power in a way that the disciples would never forget. The disciples had to be in the storm long enough. They had to be battered long enough for them to realize in a never to be forgotten way that their God has power over nature. Young people, your God has power over nature, the wind, the waves, all the elements must obey him. Jairus' daughter had to die to demonstrate that the Lord had power over death. That's the kind of God that we serve. Not some weak, self-styled deity, but a great, big, wonderful God. And Jesus delayed long enough to demonstrate to Mary and Martha that not only did he have power over death, but he had power over the grave. And it does not matter how long you have died and how long you have been buried. When Jesus comes, he's still on time, for he can still say, Lazarus, come forth. So the delays had to be so that the disciples could see that the Lord had supreme power in a way that they would never forget. Young people, it's one thing to live for God on the basis of grandma's experience. It's another thing to live for God on the basis of your experience. God wants to demonstrate his power to you. He wants you to see his glory. He wants you to see his power. And sometimes he does not come when you think he should come. He delays so that you can see his power. Secondly, the delays served to develop the faith of the people. Now, if you want to have muscles, do you know what you do? Get a knife, buy a lot of butter, and just stay around cutting butter. No. No. If you want muscles, if you want to appear like Mr. Atlas, you can't spend your days cutting butter. You have to spend your days lifting weights. And that's not easy. That takes time. That takes constancy of purpose. That takes determination. You're put through something that when you go through and you come out, and until you and I are exposed to situation where we have got to wait on God, our faith will never be developed. And the Bible is true. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk. Not faint. Hallelujah. Now, what's the lasting message? And this I find very helpful to me. The lasting message is that the Lord can transform the most hopeless situation in a short time. Let's focus again. The disciples rode from 6 to 9 and watched daylight turn to stormy dusk. They struggled from 9 to 12 and watched stormy dusk turn into a tempestuous night. They struggled from 12 to 3 in blackness. They were wet. They felt weak. Their resources were drained. Strength exhausted. Clothes wet. Oars useless. The storm is still raging. And suddenly, in the fourth watch of the night, my, what a time to come. In the fourth watch of the night. But any time that Jesus comes, he's right on time. And for you, you may have struggled through this night. You may have used your oars to the point where they are useless and you are frustrated. But Jesus Christ will come. Jesus Christ will come. Jesus Christ will come. And when he comes, everything is going to be all right. Six to nine. 9 to 12, 12 to 3. Guess where they are, young people? In the middle of the sea. They have only traveled 3 miles. And the storm is raging. And they cannot do anything. And Jesus comes. And guess how he comes? He comes walking upon their troubles. You know, sometimes I listen to us talk and we use a lot of words. We say, oh, this thing is wonderful. This thing is marvelous. Sometimes I sit there and I knock my head. Because I'm not so sure. But some of the things we say are tremendous, are tremendous. Or some of the things we say are wonderful, are really wonderful. But let me not dispute that. But man, it must have been a wonderful thing to see Jesus walking on their troubles. The thing that is giving them problem. The thing that is causing them uneasiness. The thing that is causing them trepidation, fear, apprehension. That has caused them to struggle. Has caused them to be wet. Has caused them to feel. Jesus comes walking upon it. Do you get the picture? Do you get the picture? The waves which have so, by their boisterous position, have caused that ship to be just rocking and reeling. Here comes Jesus walking on the waves. What a mighty God we serve! What a mighty God we serve! Is there any wonder that we praise him? Is there any wonder why we run the aisles? Is there any wonder why we perspire? Is there any wonder why we get so excited? Because our God walks on our troubles. He deserves to be praised. He deserves to be worshipped. He deserves to be exalted. He deserves to be extolled. He is great. So he comes walking on their troubles. And first they didn't recognize him. But then finally he just put one foot into the boat. And guess what? Well, you don't have to be a genius to guess. Because if he's walking on the troubles and he put his foot in the boat, then everything must be all right in the boat. Is there a storm going on in your life? Do you have an urgent need and you've asked God to come and help and it doesn't seem as if he has even heard? Hey, stand in there. Hang in there. Don't run. He's coming. And when he comes and puts one foot in, there is going to be a calm. Now that's the first miracle. But the miracles aren't over. They have toiled from 6 to 9, 3 hours. 9 to 12, 3 more, 6. 12 to 3, 9. And they are only in the middle of the sea. 3 miles in 9 hours. And if you are making progress in a storm, please be joyful. Young people, I really want you to get this. 6 to 9. 9 to 12. 12 to 3. 3 miles. In 9 hours. Not a whole lot, but in a storm, give thanks. Let me run this through again. 6 to 9. 9 to 12, 12 to 3, 9 hours, 3 miles. You can imagine you are going on the expressway and it takes you 9 hours to go 3 miles. But look at the miracle now. You see, when God delays, he wants to come and show us just how quickly he can transform a bad situation. The Bible said that immediately.
Yes.
Say it with me. Immediately.
Right.
Say it again. They were on the other side.
Oh.
So, here we go. Here we go. 9 hours, 3 miles. And they have 3 more miles to go. And immediately, they are there. He would make the Concord look like that little cart I see running around the place here. You talk about progress. When you wait on God, you're not losing time. You're making time. You're not losing time. You're making time. For when he arrives, friend, you're going to move 3 miles in a short immediately.